Watch what happens. Watch what happens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that happens?
Happens.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch, or sometimes even Netflix. I'm Ben Mandelker of The Real House, Rosa Kitchen Island, and also the Game Brand Podcast, and joining me is a man who would win the bake-off many, many times over if I had any say in it. It's Ronnie Karam.
Well, hello.
Hi.
How's it going?
It's going so well. I'm glad Great British Baking Show is over because it has really made me want to eat a lot of things while it was on, and now it's over. We are releasing our recap of the final episode today, a day early. Normally, this is Below Deck Day, but our roster is so full these days that we were burning the candle at both ends, and we were basically, you know, we were dead. Yeah. So we are going to, for the time being, Below Deck is going to be, we're going to attach that sort of like we'll do check-ins on Below Deck, usually attached to other recaps. So for right now, it's not going to be on the schedule because we have Real Housewives of Atlanta coming back this week. We just have a lot of shows.
Yeah, we've got five shows a week, so we had to choose one. And Below Deck, you've got some work to do, buddy. Okay, you've been moved to the back burner. Move it to the back deck. That's what we've done.
Back deck. This isn't the first time it's happened. We've had to put Below Deck on the back burner a few times before in the past. But there's just too much. It's a lot. And Below Deck is a very, very rigorous show for us to recap because taking notes on it is like the hardest thing in the entire world. So just for our own sanity, we're just temporarily, for the time being, we're going to just amend it to other recaps.
Yeah. So yeah, that's that. So that means we get to do Great British Baking Show early.
Yeah, day early. Yes. Huge thank you to everyone who did not spoil it for me. I was really worried I was going to get spoiled, and we started getting some messages and everything, and I got scared to read messages all for like the past like 3 or 4 days because I was afraid someone was going to just come out with it, and they didn't. And thank you so much for respecting our spoiling wishes.
Now, someone did spoil The Undoing for me, and it was really shitty, and it wasn't one of our people. It was on another Facebook page, and some lady was like, "Well, The Undoing, well, here's how it ended in the book." I'm like, "Well, that's still a spoiler, you ass." I'm like, why
that's
would you
so
do that?
Obnoxious.
Like, on the day of the finale, you know? I was so mad. But guess what?
What
no
page
one was
murdered.
That?
You know, you don't have to say what page
it
was.
I don't want to.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't want to like diss anyone's page because it's not the page's fault. It's that a-hole's fault.
But wow.
And I hope you just heard that, you a-hole. And I hope you're crying in your car right now. I imagine you in the car of a chick in the line at Chick-fil-A crying because someone just told you off on a podcast.
Yeah, talk about undoing.
I was furious. But guess what? Nobody died in this episode of Baking Show, so that's good. Nobody was murdered horribly.
No one seemed to have CGI on their face. They'd look a little younger during all their scenes. So that was nice, too.
Hey, why is everybody so mean to Nicole Kidman's face, by the way? Leave Nicole Kidman's face alone.
Merely stated something about the Great British Baking Show. I wasn't saying anything about Nicole Kidman. You're the one who took it to that place.
Everyone online is like, hey, what about Nicole Kidman's face? How about you guys back the fuck off of Nicole Kidman and her face? She's gorgeous. And everything she's done to her face has been done for you, okay? You think that she wants to do all that stuff to her face? No, she does it so you won't call her old. And then she does it, and you're like, oh, my God, her face.
No, that's exactly right. That is the plight. That is the plight. I mean, luckily, we're a podcast that focuses mainly on people who do those things to their faces professionally, like for like their job.
Yeah, maybe that's why. It didn't look any different to me.
Like we've been through Vicky Gunvalson, so we can deal with Nicole Kidman.
Yeah, how many different ways can you change a potato? That's Vicky Gunvalson face.
Listen, if she wanted to get plastic surgery, if she wanted to do something to her face, God bless. Go for it. I just think that maybe it seemed like it was like that season of Real Housewives where Vicky came back to shooting a little too early, you know? It just felt like that a little bit. But it's nothing wrong with it. It's just one of those things like, oh, okay, so that's what we're dealing with for this series. That's
it. Well, today on the finale of Great British Baking Show, we're going to make Nicole Kidman's face out of shoe pastry. And macarons.
And babka. Redemption babka.
It's a bit stodgy.
Stodgy. By the way, someone did post a very damning photo of exoneration for Paul Hollywood. His feet, not on a ramp or a platform. His feet firmly on the ground. So,
and what's now, his height difference between him and Prue? Is he standing next to anybody?
They were next to each other. So he is now, he is exonerated from any boxes or ramp conspiracy theories.
Is he the same height as Prue? I just want to get this straight before like I apologize.
It looked like they were pretty much the same height.
Okay, in that case, I would like to formally apologize to Paul Hollywood for suggesting that he was pulling a Tom Cruise, speaking of Nicole Kidman, and standing on boxes and scenes so he wouldn't look shorter than Nicole Kidman. And by Nicole Kidman, I mean Prue. Okay, I'd like to apologize. I mean it. My family apologized. My dog just apologized. Sorry.
That was far and away one of your best apologies, and you said it with no malice. And it must have taken you hours to do it. I'm just trying to name Nicole Kidman movies in case you couldn't tell.
No, I couldn't. God, she's in a lot of movies that just sound like normal they things in the day. It's like...
Yeah,
left you dinner on the counter. That was a great apology.
I mean, her movies are to die for. See, you didn't even hear it. I had one right in there. You know, like she's just bewitching, and I don't know. I can't remember any of her other movies. She has so many.
I'd like to say that apology was real, and it was not some big little lie. Okay, it's a true apology. I can only come up with very recent things. I don't remember. Okay, so let's get to the finale.
Yeah. So, Great British Bake Off. So, in the beginning, there were 12. Now,
ready?
There are 3.
Steady, bake! We got a little Hermine in the beginning. Aww.
Yeah, Hermine. So, we're seeing, like, our final 3, and they're all in the tent, staring at their batters very intensely. And you just see Peter, and he's just, like, staring. And then all of a sudden, we hear him say, Jeepers creepers. And then Laura's crying in the freezer, which is like her new go-to thing, which I love. I love that she has like a crying box.
Yeah, this whole thing, it's been 12 weeks. And we basically just see Laura drop 90,000 things. And then Peter staring at intricate desserts like he's about to poop out a beaver. I mean, the poor kid, he's like red in the face. His face is shaking. He just looks terrified. Bless his heart.
Bless his sweet little Christmas-loving heart, you know? Yeah. So so now it is the first day, and they're walking into the tent, and Dave's like, good luck, everybody. Good luck, everybody. Or as they say in Mexico, buenos luckos.
Taco Tuesday, everybody. Good luck. Good luck. And Laura's like, well, I do feel like I'm going into the finale as an underdog, mate. Yes, you are going into the finale as the lady who drops things. But guess what?
Yes.
I'm rooting for you, lady who drops things. I think I relate the most to Laura.
Yeah, and we get like a little recap of her journey. Laura's baking show began with chaos, and we see her Freddie Mercury, which like, it's hard to believe that when we saw that Freddie Mercury bust, that baker would wind up in the finals.
Well, I think that if she had just told everybody, this is supposed to be the guy from the Dunkin' Donuts commercials, like, time to make the donuts, she would have won easily, hands down.
Or like the Micro Machines guy, you know? So,
or Luigi. Really, really anybody. Just name it something else.
Someone who works in the local pizzeria. Then it'd be like, oh, okay, yeah, that's sort of a celebrity.
Yeah.
But more than any other baker, she's proved she's a survivor and a star. And someone who loves spilling chocolate everywhere. Let's be honest. Can we roll that chocolate footage again?
Let's look at Dave. Taco Tuesday. Dave has loved tacos. Boy, does Dave love tacos. Let's see the first challenge where Dave made a giant talking taco. And let's look at the second challenge where Dave literally went into a corner and made out with the taco shell while everybody else was baking.
And then Dave suddenly has this new accent. He's like, I never thought I'd make it to the finals, but some weeks I thought I was going to go home week three. I'm like, what happened to your TH sounds?
Yeah. He's like in the secret garden now.
He's like, from week one, Dave has been listening and learning. He's become one of the most improved in the competitions.
Why are you being so mean to Dave? I mean, look, Ben is mean to Dave, but you're making Dave sound like some fuck up over here.
He's always good.
Yeah, I think Dave's done a good job.
Yeah, he's always been very good. I always thought he was a front runner from the beginning. And then we have Peter, who's like, I've always wanted to get here. I think I've always wanted to get here since I was 12 or 13, you know? Just it's crazy.
Yeah.
He's marrying ambitious bakes with flawless flavors. The show's youngest ever finalist secured his second star bake last week and didn't even blink when he was sexually harassed by me. No.
Bakers, this is your last ever signature challenge. We need you to bake 8 beautifully decorated custard slices.
I love custards. I was very upset when I learned General Custard died at the Battle of Cremorne.
And all the judges just stay silent, stare at him.
Prue is like, did I get to 80 years old looking this cool to hear something so lame?
Matt tells him, just leave. Just go.
Bike!
So they have to make these custard slices. So Prue tells us, a custard slice? Oh, that sounds very homey, doesn't it? But actually, a custard slice is a really difficult thing to get right. We want laminated pastry, and it means there's have those layers. It's all about the butter, the precision, and the lamination.
What you don't want is dry or stodgy.
So then the judges go visit Laura and see what she's doing. And she's like, well, it's an easy custard on the side, mate. All right, I'm serving it on its side. Because you know how when you cut into a custard slice, it squeezes down. Well, I don't want that. I want it to be on the side, so it's not going to squeeze down. Paul's like,
So the resistance is in the custard. Did you get the you are stupid tone that I have there? Because that's what I'm saying.
So what you're saying is rather than have a custard slice normally, you're putting it on its side. It's almost as if you're letting it fall over on its own without your help, right?
So you're making a vertical yuzu. Noel, do you have anything to say to that?
Knew him in high school.
Thank you. You're done. Leave now.
All the finalists are making a rough puff pastry. It's one of my favorite pastries of all time. It's like, all right, Peter, relax over there.
Yeah, Peter was super excited about everything today.
Yeah. So they have to use gelatin. They're making a silky smooth set filling, so they're going to use gelatin, and Dave doesn't want his to be rubbery, and Laura's going to use 10 sheets of gelatin, and she tells us the reason why. She goes, I can't afford to have it not set. Okay, I can't have, it's like, Laura, you're Laura. It's never going to set. You just, that's just the way it is. Anything that needs to be solid comes out melty and spilly. That's just Laura's touch.
Yeah. So then the judges go over to Dave, and he's like, I'm making a caramel latte custard with hazelnut spikes and little balls of salts on the side.
And Paul just goes, caramel again. You stupid Point Break loving Mexico fanatic.
And I was like, well, I can kind of see you as the winner. You know, look at you dancing at Lesser Bakers. Bring me my velvet baking cake. And then you've got a little bombino on the way. You know, you really should name that baby after a chunky little podcaster who likes baking things, even though his partner hates your guts and wishes you were dead. Keep that in mind.
What you should do, Dave, since people keep saying that you look like that podcaster's partner, what you should do is you should name your new little baby after the podcast partner of the person that you look like. That's what you should do.
Those are really difficult instructions to follow. Focus, Dave. Focus.
So then we see him FaceTiming with his wife and their dog, and she's like, we all miss you so much, all three of us. We all can't wait to see you again. It's been so long, but so worth it to have some peace and quiet from you prattling on about Patrick Swayze and Point Break every single day, David.
David, I'm so proud of you. I hope you win something that's bigger than a studio apartment, because I'm currently pregnant with a dog hanging from the ceiling, a dog on the bed, a dog under the bed, a dog coming out of the keyboard cover on the computer. Please, Dave, get me out of here, Dave.
So, like Dave's saying somehow he wants to win for his family, which is, you know, so cliche.
No, it's lame. You should want to win to like get enough money to leave your family. I mean, what the hell kind of show is this?
Mm-hmm. I agree. So I just took a sip of coffee, which is a great segue to say that Dave is worried that his coffee flavor will be overpowering. Just as overpowering as the delicious flavors of salsa in Mexico.
So then Peter is like, 75 mils of whiskey going in my cream pat. He's so excited. And so they all start adding liquids to their cream. And will they add too much liquid? Because that gives it too much. That gives it less of a chance to set. And then Laura is just, you know, dropping a whole container of lime juice in there. And
She just has like a full on like gallon jug, just like pouring it. She just has a garden hose. I'm just putting it into her custard.
Yeah.
So then Peter is making his life twice as hard. He's doing two custards, a raspberry creme pat and a whiskey creme pat.
Yes. And Paul's like, how do you feel, Peter? He's like, it hasn't sunk in. I'm going to leave here and realize how awesome it is. And then he gets to call his parents. And he's like, hello, brother. They're like, there's no brother here. I see him. He's right next to you, Mom. Nope. There's no brother here.
Your brother has gone, Peter. He's gone.
He's been gone for 10 years now, Peter.
Ever since that great gluten accident, Peter.
That you caused, Peter, when you left the door open and you and you went out and was hit by a gluten truck. And you never even showed remorse. So,
oh my God.
So, many congratulations on making it through to the Bake Off final. Just you and yourself and no brother. And then his mom is like reading, like, I guess she'd written down what she was going to say on this little call, and she has a super Scottish accent, so she's like, it's amazing to see how far you come on those rainy afternoons when you are just 4 years old making cupcakes for your brother, who is not here, as we have clearly mentioned. And I must say, I couldn't have lost my oven to a better person, and of course there was only one person for it to be lost to, since, well, everything that we previously discussed.
I'd like to congratulate both of your personalities for coming through so strong, Petey boy. So he's like, this has shaped me. One of the beautiful things, being at uni and not traveling the world, I haven't experienced much, but there's 100 people locked in here, and we're the only 100 to experience this right here. I'm like, Peter, you're 10 years old, okay? You have time. Finish school. You'll be fine.
Yeah. So then Matt comes up to pester him, and he's like, are you prepared for every student to be pointing at you? They're just going to be coming up and filming you with their phones. Are you prepared for that? And Peter's like, well, I'm a wee bit scared, but I'll just pretend there are a whole bunch of Christmas trees and it's Christmas time all year round.
I'll just leave plates of cookies out for Santa wherever I am. Hopefully people will like me.
And he blushes. Because Matt tells him he's going to be famous. He turns bright red.
He also blushes because when there was like a breeze, he blushes a lot.
Yeah. So by adding butter, Dave and Peter hope to increase their chances of a thick custard. But while their custards chill, they need to prep their pastry. And now Laura's pastry is too cold. What the hell? Poor Laura and freezers. Freezers don't work very well with Laura.
She's a pizza oven girl, okay? She needs like soaring temperatures, like blazing hot temperatures. She does not do well with freezers, okay? If she were a freezer girl, that would be her personality instead. She'd be like, well, my name's Laura. I live with my boyfriend and we have a freezer. That would be her story, okay? It's not her story.
Yeah. So snow icing sugar weighed down between two sheets. Okay, so they're making their rough puff and they have to put sheet pans over it to like flatten it out before they put it in the oven. And Dave has a very fancy way because he puts weights on top of his pan. Little rocks. Yeah.
Little rocks in the pan. And then Peter, Peter's the one who's putting on a snow of sugar onto the rough puff, in between the layers.
Yeah, this show is the show of writing notes that
It's like, Ruff Puff, sugar, icing, white down, between sheets, sheets, between sheets.
Yeah. Like, you can't tell if it's like, is this like referring to something that happened, or is this weird British slang? Like, Ruff Puff between the sheets in the snow.
Yeah. You're like, get that Ruff Puff between the sheets.
Which means, like, have you gone to the bank today in England? Have you got that Ruff Puff between the sheets yet? So,
so I mean, Peter, I mean, yeah. Would you like to do a little Ruff Puff between the sheets?
So then Noel goes up to Laura and he's like, someone's in the finals. If you can just nail it for three bakes, it could change your life. And she's like, yes, but I do quite like my life. And thanks for getting in my head. I guess I'm Hermine this week, aren't I?
Yeah, she's like, I quite like my life. Have you heard about my pizza oven? And we see her boyfriend or husband or whoever call, and he's like, you've been gone 6 weeks, which is probably just as well because the kitchen stayed clean. Wow, how romantic.
And then we see her dad is so sweet. He's like, Laura, how clever are you in the final of the Great British Bake Off? How have you pulled it off? I'll tell you how. You put your very big heart and soul into all you do. Believe in yourself, because we all do. Come on, Laura, you can do this. And you probably just spilled a sheet pan full of chocolate, didn't you? Didn't you?
Laura, I hope you've taken what this family has taught you. When in doubt, stick your head in the freezer. I know you'll do great, honey. And she's like, pardon me doing it for them because they're just so proud. I mean, you don't really want to let them down, really. Well, let's see how this goes.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So Noel has resurrected Mr. Spoon again this week, and he's now with Laura, and he's addressing Mr. Spoon. He's like, does Mr. Spoon think that Laura's not enough to win? So he makes the spoon, like, nod, and he goes, oh my God, he just said yes. You just said yes. Now you have to kiss him. You have to kiss him. Will you kiss him, Laura?
Yeah, this kissing the spoon thing, I mean, it is COVID time. I know it is COVID time. You guys have been, like, locked away in your bubble, as you call it, but this is basically a spoon super spreader event, okay?
Yeah, has that spoon been tested? Has that spoon been tested? I don't see any safety protocols there.
So time to uncover the pastry. Peter's looks great. Laura's is too thick. And I don't know about Dave.
Yeah.
I forgot.
Basically, Dave and Peter's pastry looks fine and Laura's is too thick. And so now they have to add their decorative elements. So Peter, like, he has this, like, he has some sort of, like, sugary caramel confection that he, like, he pours into a tin and it, like, honeycomb. Bubbles up and froths. Was that honeycomb?
Yeah.
Well, he had it going and it was, like, frothing. And then it looked like a monster. And so Noel was, like, laughing and he's like, he's like, oh, it's like a creature. He's like, it's trying to speak to me. It's telling me who the winner is. And Peter's like, go on. He goes, it's telling me it's Dave. Anyway, see you later.
Yeah. Sorry. Have fun.
Yeah. Bye.
Oh, moment of truth. Are the custards set? Dave's is set. Peter's is set. Laura's is not set because it's Laura. Oh. Come on, guys. Are you kidding? Come on.
You put it in the pizza oven again, didn't you, Laura? I did.
It's like, I wonder back if it was freezer. The pepperoni.
Well, time to go back to the freezer. I don't think you have enough time for that to set. No, not for the custard, for my head. All right, see you in a moment.
Oh, so everyone else is cutting and plating and getting everything looking gorgeous, and Laura's freaking out, and she's trying to, like, pipe onto her thin little custard things that are falling over, and I felt so bad for Laura, because I
felt
Laura.
Bad. I was really hoping
that Laura was going to pull it out, like, just be brilliant all of a sudden, you know?
Same. I was hoping that, too, but it was just, like, it was really not good, and everyone and what made it worse for her is that the other two looked really great, and so then you just have Laura and her custard slices, and so naturally she went over to the freezer and cried.
Yeah.
I feel bad laughing at her crying, but there was something like kind of like like hilarious about just seeing her just sticking her head in a freezer and crying. Yeah, and that this isn't the first time.
It's so funny. It's like, there she is, like, that's someone who lives in a studio apartment. And you just, like, you just need to be alone to cry. You're like, I'll be in the my head will be in the freezer. Leave me alone. I'm cleaning the kitchen. So they're watching her, and Matt and Noel are both like, oh, poor thing. And then Dave's like, well, unfortunately, I don't have time to put on my gigantic caramel towers. But his still look really perfect. And so Dave goes to comfort Laura, basically, and is really being nice. He's like, are you all right, Laura? Are you all right? It's all right. Failing's okay. Failing can taste good with a nice set custard. Oh, sorry. Was that the wrong thing to say, Laura? Sorry.
Shouldn't have said that. Shouldn't have said that. And then Noel's like, Laura, do you know about Bjorn Borg? You know why he was such a good winner? Because he would just forget the past point. If he lost, he'd just move forward. Are you okay? She's like, God damn it. My head's in a freezer. Stop talking to me about Bjorn Borg.
Listen, whenever I feel down, I do what Neon Bjorg did. And I just concentrate on bowls, Laura. Does that help?
I'm so embarrassed.
And Noel goes, oh, come on now. You've come back from way worse. And then he starts laughing and walks off.
I mean, you're here, aren't you? So now it's time for the judging. And so the judges go up to Peter's, and they love the way his look. And Prue's like, lovely flaky pastry, isn't it? Not stodgy at all. And the oats are really delicious on top.
And they can see all the layers, and she's like, oh, the oats, they're delicious, they're crunchy, they're caramelized, they're oats on a custard, so thank you for this odd little yogurt breakfast at camp thing that you've made.
Thank you for channeling Colt Cannon here into this pastry. I'm only sad that you weren't so literal to put haggis in here, too. Thank you.
So Dave's caramel latte. Dave's like, well, I want you to know I intended those wobbly lines. That's why the lines are wobbly. I thought, shall I pour like a Dave or pour like a Laura? So you'll notice the lines are wobbly. I chose Laura. And they continue on to the floor into a puddle of tears under a freezer. So enjoy that.
Well, it looks delicious and gorgeous coffee flavor, although it's a little bit stodgy, the coffee.
But it's still delicious. It's not stodgy, stodgy.
Just Dave stodgy. I intended that.
I did that on purpose. It's called stodgy.
Stodgerito.
So Laura's yuzu custard looks, you know, like trash, basically. Delicious trash.
It looks it's delicious.
Still yellow and has a bunch of, you know,
stuff.
Whipped cream and stuff on it. So
she's like, she goes, I'm so embarrassed. And you'd expect Prue to say, well, you know, these things happen. You know, it's good days and bad days. Prue just goes, it's so sad.
How much gelatin did you put in here? A mil? Oh, it should set like concrete, Laura. Like concrete.
You know what, Laura? The craziest thing. I just went over to the freezer and your tears have not frozen yet either. There really must be something about you.
I know. I wonder if they're just fucking with Laura's freezer at this
Maybe.
Point. So Paul's like, well, you've got a lot of bluster and color. It's like a cracker rather than a rough puff. It's like, oh, kick her while she's down. Kick her, just kick her.
Apparently she put in too much flavoring, which made it harder for her filling the set, which was all the problem. But the good news is Paul loved the flavor.
Damn it.
Yeah, exactly. But because of that lime, Paul did love the flavor, even though the puff pastry was not good. And Prue goes, well, Laura, you've had a bad morning, but it tastes delicious and you can have a good afternoon, theoretically. I mean, on paper you could, but of course, it's you, Laura. So anyway, we'll have the cleaning staff ready to wipe up all your spills.
Noel's like, just forget about it. Remember the bowls. And she's like, well, they could have been ruder to me, so it was actually kind of kind. So now, for the last gingham-wrapped mystery.
The technical challenge. And Prue gives her advice. Keep your cool and keep everything else cool. Use your fridges. And you just know Laura's like, oh, fuck me. How many challenges this season are going to involve setting things in the fridge?
I know. Laura's fridge is probably just like, oh, my God. Really? Do I get a raise after this? This is hazard pay over here. So Matt's like, make 8 little walnut whirls. Yes, your walnut whirls must feature a biscuit base, a ganache filling surrounded by marshmallow and coated with tempered chocolate. Like that tennis player, Bjorn... I'm sorry, I forgot what I was going to say. I was thinking about bowls.
And Peter's like, I like a walnut whirl. Of course you do, Peter. Of course. And poor Laura, she's like, I hate coffee. I hate the smell of it. I hate everything about it. And she just sort of stares down her coffee beans like, fuck you, little beans.
Prue and Paul talk over the little tiny things. And she's like, it is very tiny, isn't it, Paul? And he's like, the marshmallow is just set. And it melts in the mouth. And that soft marshmallow, delicious. Do you know what I want to say? Stodgy. I do, but I can't. Well done, Paul. Well done.
Well, the marshmallow's a bit tricky. I mean, if it's too sloppy, it will lose those characteristic whirly-whirlies. That was for you, Peter, because I know you're going to want to turn that into some sort of animated character that you'll express through cake. Mr. Whirly-Whirly.
Oh, so...
By the way, those looked so delicious. They looked like little Malamars, but even better. I wanted one so badly, and I contemplated looking up how to actually make those, and then I was like, why do I think I would be able to make something that is featured in the finale of the Great British Bake Off? I'm not making marshmallows and all that.
Really? Because tonight I'm making choux pastry with some creme anglaise. Thank you.
Wow.
It's
okay.
Delicious. So Mr. come Bragger. On, try it out. Try it out, okay? Nothing is too hard. Even if it doesn't work and it all glops together, it's still marshmallow ganache and a biscuit, you know?
That's like, true.
Yeah.
That's true. It looks delicious.
So Peter is doing that thing, you know, that Food Network thing where you have to talk to the camera about what you're making, you know, like this show too. So he's like, well, right now, things are hot and I'm just trying to keep things cold. And these walnuts, if you make toasty walnuts, they smell toasty and walnutty.
He's giving all the important information while Susie Ferguson watches and goes, I'm just not feeling it. Not feeling it. I'm sorry.
I don't know if you're right for this network.
Yeah. And Ted Ferguson. Well, his name right? Ted. No, not Ted. It was Ted. Susie Ferguson and Ted, whatever Ted's name is. Like, we love you so much. We think you're so wonderful, but we're not getting from you what we really need. So I'm sorry. We're going to have to let you go.
I see what you can put on the outside, but what I need to see is this coming from the inside. Do you understand what I'm saying?
You're just not very good. Susie Ferguson, people don't know, like, when Susie Ferguson, when they minimize Susie Ferguson's role on Food Network Star, that is exactly the moment that the Food Network went downhill.
Well, it's definitely when we stopped watching, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Well, that show at least. Yeah. Actually, most all of them. Okay, who cares? Okay, so everyone's chopping walnuts, because we can start a Food Network talk for about 10 hours. So, yeah,
especially with Susie Ferguson.
Yeah, so they're chopping walnuts, and then Peter has never made the biscuit, and Laura is, they're all trying to figure out this biscuit, right? And Dave's like, never heard of it, but all right.
Yeah, there's some sort of, this biscuit's called like a sablé or something like that. I couldn't understand.
A sablé, yeah. Dave's like, I've never heard of what a sablé is, but you know what? Mi sablé español, so I'm going to go with that.
Habla sablé. So so they have to make her coffee ganache, and Laura is just like so grossed out. She's like, I like literally don't even know how to roast coffee. Like, what am I supposed to do? And she just stares at the beans. She's like, what do I do with them? Yeah. Eat them? Those vile little deer droppings? What am I supposed to do?
And Peter's like, well, I've got this part down because it's basically like uni when you just do your homework and study baking all season instead of dating. You end with no lumps or bumps. I've got this.
So then they're rolling out their biscuit, and Peter may have rolled his out too thin, who knows. And now it's time to like make the marshmallow. And so now then Noel comes around again with Mr. Spoon, and now he's coming up to Peter, and guess what? Mr. Spoon thinks that Peter has done enough to win.
Yeah. And he's like, come on, there hasn't ever been a winner who hasn't kissed a spoon. And Peter turns bright red. Because, you know, he's being sexually harassed by a spoon now. And he's like, oh, no thanks. And he's like, go on, do it. Do it, Peter. And so Peter tries to kiss the bottom of the spoon. He's like, no, not there. You've got to kiss the face of the spoon. So Peter does it and turns bright red. And then Noel goes, that's a memory I'm keeping my bank the rest of my life.
Peter's like, how awkward that I had my first kiss on television. And it was with a spoon. So then Dave is like, I've not actually made marshmallow before. Well, I think it's just an Italian meringue with gelatin in it. And I don't know why I wrote that down. It like annoyed me. Like, how do you, have you not made marshmallows, Dave, on Great British Baking Show? I don't know. I was pissed. I don't know. I don't know what to say. I got nothing else to say.
And then Laura was like, yes, it's an Italian meringue, basically. And Peter's like, I do Swiss meringue. I'm like, of course you do, Peter. Of course you fucking do, okay?
Like, and of course, Laura.
Perfect meringue.
And of course, Laura messes up her marshmallows. They're like not coming together. They're messing up because she started, she basically started adding the syrup in before the egg whites were ready. So she has to start over, which is classic Laura.
Classic Laura. It's like, well, that's a first. It's like, are you being sarcastic? Yeah. 1 hour left. 1 hour left. So Dave and Pete are both way ahead because they're piping their chocolate already. And poor Laura's, you know, so behind. And then we get to the marshmallow piping. And then the chocolate melting.
Well, the chocolate melting is where Peter starts to have issues because it's so hot in the tent that the chocolate is – he can't get the chocolate down to the right temperature for it to be tempered. And he's like, I can't do it. I can't get the temperature down. And then we cut to Dave. He's like, I've got an ice bath here, like bragging about having an ice bath. So he figured it out. I was like, okay, Dave, you figured it out, an ice bath. Okay, congratulations.
Yeah. I know. And poor Peter's like, how am I going to do it? Oh, ice bath. Look at that. The temperature's really coming down in here. Really coming down.
Sometimes when I'm putting my chocolate in the ice bath, I like to pretend it's Bodhi surfing in the waves in Point Break.
And Peter is quite dissatisfied with how this whole thing is coming out. And yeah. Dave is getting good coverage because he decides to dip his instead of pouring everything on top.
Mm-hmm. It looks amazing. I mean, it looks just so good. It looks just like these coils of chocolate. I was really losing my mind.
I mean, kind of, but they also look like the poop emoji.
They did. That's the other thing I was going to say. It looked like a delicious version of the poop emoji.
Yeah.
Just needed the little smile.
If we ever get to do the crappy awards live again, we have got to serve those.
Yeah, walnut whirlies.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, of course, Laura's isn't quite set. Now is the time when they start to judge. So they look at Laura's first, and it's not quite set. Must have been a timing issue. I mean, at that point, they must have been like, well, this is an anonymous judging right now, but we are saying timing issue and, oh, look, there's Laura in the freezer again. So I guess we sort of know who did these.
So blind testing. Here we go. So hers are melty. And then Peter is next. And Prue's like, looks as if the marshmallow was soft. He's like, maybe longer on the biscuit, but the ganache is good. Perfect. Mm.
And Dave's is perfect. It's great. It has a lovely crack for the biscuit. It has like really good ripples, or not ripples, but that spiral or whatever. So, unsurprisingly, Laura comes in third, Peter second, and Dave has the best poop emojis in first place.
Yeah. So Dave's like, I can't believe it. I proved to myself and to them that I can do technicals.
Yeah, but do you have a pizza oven? Didn't think so, mate.
So, do you have zero pulls from having your head in the freezer so often? No, you don't.
So now they go into like the discussion, like the judges are discussing like what could happen. And it's like, can Laura win this? And Paul's like, well, we've seen stranger things in the tent before. I mean, we've seen people where it's all theirs to lose. And then when it came to the final challenge, they've lost it. I think of last week, Hermine, when we got into her head for an entire episode and then she lost. Things happen like that.
You know, me secretly ruining people's lives with manipulation and brainwashing. That could happen. And I was like, can I just say something? I'd like to say something about the wonderful tennis player. Oh, enough with the tennis player, all right. Laura's got a huge mountain to climb, and then it thunders. And I was like, God is very angry with what you said. Like, boom.
Yeah, and Prue's like, God's agreeing with me. God does not like stodgy pastries. Paul's like, well, of course he is. He would dare not to. Ha, 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 ha.
Noel goes, yeah, he doesn't want to get snubbed for your next pillow party. He knows it'll be a key party.
She doesn't deny it. So now it's time for the Showstopper Challenge, and the bakers have to make a colossal tower reflecting your personal experience. It has to have a large cake at the base, and then the rest of it must show off 3 different baking disciplines.
Bake! So Prue's like, it's the exhibition at the end of term where you show off what you've learned. I want them to go out thinking, I did my best, and I was bloody good.
And Paul's like, well, it's the final challenge, so it's their own personal showstopper, really. I'm like, yes, Paul, obviously. That's what it is every week. All I want is the perfect is all I want is it to be perfect of whatever they choose to do. I'm like, yeah, and you say that every week. It's like every week when you say, what we want is precision. It's like you always want precision.
Yeah, so the judges go over to Laura first, and she's like, mine is based off my favorite quote. When it rains on your parade, look up, not down, because up it's a rainbow, down is all the chocolate you spilled, and the other only place to put your head is inside the freezer, which...
No, my head is in a freezer.
Like, that's a long quote, Laura. It's a very, very long quote.
Laura, are you sure the quote isn't... When it rains in your parade, look up and not down, because when you look up, you get rain in your eyes and you can't see where you're going and you drop everything on your counter and make it messy. Is that the quote?
Are you sure the quote isn't? Are you raining on my leg? Are you peeing on my leg and telling me it's raining? Is that it? That's a Judge Judy right there.
What parade is actually being rained on in your world, Laura? Is it a parade of pizza ovens?
So she's going to make a little rainbow for her dessert tower. Mm-hmm. And she's going to do lemon curd filling, key lime tart, a macaron, an orange cinnamon cheese frosting, cheesecake frosting on a cake, and Chelsea buns. I mean, they're not fucking around. They're making like 50,000 things each.
Yeah. And Paul, and she just says that she just wants to do herself proud. And Paul's like, do me one favor, Laura. Try to keep your bench clean for once. Clean bake, clean mind. She's like, Roger that. Oh, just spilled ganache all over it. I'm not even using ganache. I don't know where this came from, but it spilled it.
So then they go over to Peter, and he's like, my dessert tower is Bonkers Baking Show bubble cake.
Of course, Peter. Of course. Featuring the Dizzy the Shuttlecock Experience.
Bonkers Baking Show bubble cake. I can't believe he didn't say Christmas, and then they cut to what he's making, and it's like Christmas spiced.
No, it's like it's literally like a puffed rice Christmas tree with Christmas flavors with biscuit presents and shoe buns.
What happened to you on Christmas? I have to know.
So it's going to be a great British Victoria sandwich. And he's like, I tried to have a wee brainstorm thinking about what my experience has been. And I was thinking about it and I thought, my experience has been Christmas. Just Christmas.
Presents. Fat men crawling down the chimney. He goes, yes, you know, the other aspect is the joy of it all. I've watched this half my life. And Paul's like, don't say that. Please.
Please. So then Dave's tower is, I think it's like a little, I think it's meant to be like inspirational maybe, but I actually find it to be a little haughty. And he's like, I'm calling my dessert tower a tower to redemption. And it's bakes where he's done badly and he wants to prove that he has what it takes. So I understand, like, I feel like it's, on one hand, it's like, I'm showing that I am good at this. But I kind of took it as, like, I'm really good after all. Ha. You know?
Yeah. I just watch a lot of Top Chef, as do you, and this is never a good idea.
It's the biggest trap. It's
never ever been a good idea.
Because it's always what the, like, on Top Chef, it's like, when chefs do this, it's like, it's very ego-driven, right? It's like they can't deal with the fact that they mess up at something, so like they need to prove that they can do it right. So it's very, very ego driven, even though it's supposed to be like, oh, it's redemptive, it's showing. It's like, no, it's because someone got a mise en place tattoo on their forearm and then they didn't know how to slice an apple and they're embarrassed.
So he's like, the definition of insanity is expecting different results for the same thing. I think that was Einstein who said that. Dave Einstein. So he goes to do his again. He's doing the babka, the chocolate babka thing, profiteroles, mm-hmm. and brownies, which, I mean, a Fraser brownie cake. In your final showstopper thing. Dave, come on.
It's all just odd. The Fraser cake, chocolate babka. Profiterole. It's a mishmash. But like, yes, I'm like, Dave, I know you're trying to redeem yourself, but like, this is, I don't know. I just don't think it's good. Yeah. So then Laura's talking about her husband, and she's like, well, apparently I'm a nagger. I just say to him, if he just did things, I wouldn't have to nag all the time. And then I spill a bowl of chocolate ganache on his head and say, oops, sorry, you just got Laura'd.
I say, get up, it's time for work. If you don't get up, you're going to be late for work. Then I drop a cheesecake on his face.
He's just angry because every morning he falls on his butt when he gets out of bed on account of the butter that I spilled the evening before.
So Peter is doing his biscuit dough, and he's like, I'm going to do an American-style sugar biscuit.
Yeah. He said it in a way that like I was like, oddly offended. He said, American-style sugar cookie. I was like, what is wrong with our sugar cookies? Like, I got, like, very defensive about American sugar cookies.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't get I don't get defensive about sugar cookies.
Yeah, he wasn't even saying anything offensive. I just was like, yeah.
Whenever
I don't even
they
like
say
sugar
American
cookies.
Style, you know, because I feel like they're like, American style.
I know, because like in America, those are just sugar cookies. So like the calling something American style is like, oh, this is like the other version that is like not globally accepted. I'm like, excuse me, those are our sugar cookies. Listen. It's like the family. It's like, I can make fun of our sugar cookies, but you cannot.
Yeah, no. Totally. And he's like, I'm going to make a checkered effect just like my Battenberg. And then thunder.
Yeah. Thunder. God says, make British sugar cookies instead. They're far superior.
I hate American sugar biscuits.
I made those biscuits to punish people.
On the eighth day, I remade British sugar biscuits because I hated the American sugar biscuits so much.
When Eve ate the forbidden fruit, she also learned the recipe to American sugar cookies. There, I said it.
That's why they were kicked out of the garden. The original sin, American sugar biscuits.
So there's 3 hours left. And Noel is now approaching Dave with Mr. Spoon and basically making Dave kiss Mr. Spoon, which, you know, Mr. Spoon's been getting around.
Yeah, Mr. Spoon's hoeing it up in this tent. So Peter's listening to his cakes, which, gotta say, again, I'm doing that now with everything I pull out of the oven. Sometimes it hurts you, because if you're, like, making fries in the oven or something like that with oil on them and you pull those out and you listen to them, oil splatters up in your face. So thanks, Peter. Thanks for that scar.
Yeah, thanks, Peter. Thanks for teaching us a hack, a burnt ear hack.
Yeah, so Peter's Battenberg biscuits aren't measuring up. He's like, I should have planned this, shouldn't I? Dun-dun-dun.
He has like some sort of brain fart where he doesn't remember how to turn his biscuits into a checkerboard because he wants his little biscuit Christmas presents to look like they have checkerboard wrapping. And so he's like, well, they'll just be stripy instead. They'll just be stripy. And he puts them in the oven, but he's like obsessed and he's like fully unraveling. He has like 2 minutes of unraveling about this checkerboard pattern. And I think he like pulls them out and he's like, I know how to do it. And he like fixes it. And then he makes them all into like a pretty checkerboard pattern. But I was like, dude, stripes would have been totally fine.
Yeah. So Noel.
He goes, when he puts them back in, he's like, I don't know what was wrong. I think I was being a bit of a silly Billy.
Yeah, that's mildly concerning. So then everything's going into chaos. And Dave is like, these profiteroles will redeem me for those profiteroles I made in that challenge. And now he's putting red all over the profiteroles, which is ruining it for me.
Yeah, and he says, the judges said my brownies are more like a tray bake. So no tray bake today. I'm calling these brownie enchiladas.
So Peter is doing his rice cone, his Rice Krispies cone or whatever he's making. But then it starts spilling out of the side of his like funnel mold thing. And he's like, jeepers creepers.
Silly Billy alert.
And so, if the pressure wasn't enough, a bunch of stagehands who will eat literally anything off the ground started arriving. Stagehands who have been fed nothing but American Cheetos and pizza pies have started arriving.
Outside the tent, we're recreating a pivotal scene from Game of Thrones where the wildlings approach the wall.
the whole crew and staff of the hotel and everybody starts gathering because they're going to be the audience this year.
Yeah. And then we get to the portion of the showstopper that involves nougatine. Apparently, there's a big nougatine mandate because they need to basically need to make a structure to go atop their cake to hold these other desserts. So they're all working on their nougatine, and they need it to support things. And of course, like Laura's nougatine is not working at all.
And you don't know what's going to happen with Peter because he does look like he's going to sob again. He's like freaking out. And Laura just keeps saying, I need more time. I need more time. I need more time. And Dave, of course, is like, well, I'm pleased with how it came out. And starts just eating while he watches everybody else.
Yeah, he's just sitting there. So now there's 5 minutes left. And Laura's like, I need more time. I need more time.
And, oh, do you want me to help you, Laura? I've got time. I've got tempo if you need it. She's like, no.
And then tempo. And then Peter is like decorating his Christmas tree thing, and he's like, well, unfortunately, Slapdash is our friend today. And he's like, I guess, upset because he was going to have a very specific pattern to how he was going to stick his little biscuits on the side. And he's like, oh, it's so Slapdash. And meanwhile, it looks like amazing. And it's like, oh, no, so Slapdash, silly Billy over here.
And now it's time to present. Laura's up first. Hers looks kind of sad. It's only it like just two tiers.
It looks like a bunch of desserts that fell on top of each other. Yeah. It's like
she like literally made a key lime pie and just put it on top of like a babka.
It's like if you had to like bring a bunch of desserts into the house and you like your hands are full, so you just sort of stack them and then you like carry them against your chest, like under your chin as you walk in the door. That's sort of like what hers looked like. It wasn't really a tower, just like a stack.
Yeah. And Paul loves her cake. Because it's very moist and not dry.
Yeah, they think the cake is amazing. And of course, well, Paul loves it because there's key lime pie. I mean, see, Laura knows. I know I'm a long shot, so I'm just gonna put some key lime pie in this to win some extra points with Paul.
Yeah, love the zing. And then she's made chocolate Chelsea buns. And Prue's like, well, nothing is wrong with your baking, Laura. I love stretchy. I love squashy.
Yeah, and Prue's like, you're such a good baker and you're so good with flavor. Oh, and I think you just spilled some of that marshmallow from yesterday on your shoes, so.
And they love her babka. And basically, she gets a well done.
Yeah, she gets a
well done. And Dave's like, well done, Laura. Shut up, Dave. Okay, just be quiet.
I know. He's been doing that the past few episodes where he sits on a stool and smiles like, good job, Laura. It's like very patronizing.
Yes.
By the way, I also liked Paul, the way he addressed Laura's cake. He's like, it's interesting because each one of those components on their own, I saw them on their own plate. I say, that's nice. But then together, I'm like, no. Just like, no. So now it's time for Peter. So Paul... The cake arrives and Paul does this thing when Paul, you can never tell, he does this when he's either really impressed by something or he hates it, where he puts his hand behind his head and he sort of scratches the back of his head as if to say, well, this is fucking amazing and my career is over. He's going to take over my life and kill me and become the new star of this show. I know it right now. Or he's saying,
I'm going to show off my biceps right now while this young little whippersnapper tries to take my life over. Still sexy, on behind head.
So Paul likes that there's a Christmas theme, and Prue's like, oh, I think it's lovely. I think it's lovely. And Peter looks like he's literally about to just like faint on the floor of this tent.
Yeah. And the middle layer is shoe buns. And Prue's like, delicious. And Paul's like, sharp, silky, smooth. And the Battenberg biscuits are softening now because they've been on like wet surfaces or whatever, but they're still delicious. And then they get to the top, and Prue's like, well, that's disappointing. Very, very doughy texture.
Stodgy, if you will. But overall, like a very good job by Peter. So now it's time for Dave's Tower of Redemption.
Original, enticing, well-designed, and dangerous, because you pick things you could have done better at. So now you're saying these are perfect?
Prue's like, just say yes, Dave. Just say yes, or whatever they say in Mexico.
The Tower of Stupidity by Dave. Let's dig in, shall we?
First, we have the Fraser Crane Cake.
Well, it's tender as anything. It's delicious. It's good. I just and don't then, know what to do with these tossed salads and scrambled eggs. I'll say it again.
Oh, and I like that you dressed your babka up in a gray suit with a pulled back hair. That's a great touch.
And Paul's like, beautifully light, summery cake. Now on to the brownie. Yes, last time, the problem with them is that they were all cake-like rather than gooey. He's like, goo. I'll taste goo here. Better.
And then on to the babka and they're saying, like, well, last time you didn't have this or that right. And Dave's like, well, and also I think I took it out a little too early. So I think you'll find that I didn't take it out a little too early this time. You took it out too late. Damn it!
Flavor's good, but the dough is tough. And now for the shoe. Straight away, The two-flat. Two-flat, Dave, two-flat.
They look like bao pastries. They did not look right.
Yeah, his whole presentation was a little weird because he had all those red things that looked like the tops of Mario mushrooms.
Yeah.
And just the kind of like with brownies on it. I was like, ooh, wow, brown and red. That's your thing. Come on, Dave.
Pretty much his only really strong thing was the Fraser cake. I mean, the brownie was good, but like they don't really care about the brownies. But the Fraser cake, Prue said it was one of the nicest things she's eaten. She said, that was heaven. That was heaven. Everything else was shit, but that was heaven.
Yeah, and Paul's like, well, the brownies, check, but the profiteroles and babkas need work. I was like, oh, that's sad. You got the brownies were the only thing you got best.
Yeah.
Or great.
So but Peter is worried.
I thought he was going to
win. I wasn't sure. I thought he might win, but I thought Peter was going to win at that point. I
thought the whole season was going to be Peter, but for some reason I thought, oh, man, Dave's really been killing it at the other two challenges today. So maybe he took it.
Yeah, I thought Dave was gonna win the whole thing. So Peter is like, he's like, I just don't know if I've done enough. Oh, I don't know. I mean, Prue wasn't so big on my friend being so stodgy. So, but I do like a bit of stodge.
And Laura's like, well, look, I mean, I did better than I expected. I'm gutted I didn't do better yesterday, but I think David's just gonna nub it. He's gonna nub it.
Yeah, Dave's just like, I'm bricking it. I'm bricking it. So now while the finalists go out to like the crowd, to the bubbles, to the bubblers, now it's time to deliberate. And Paul says actually that the base cakes for all of them were some of the best examples of those cakes he's ever seen.
And you said that Laura would have to be amazing, Jesus Christ, up, you know, down from heaven if she were to excel. So how did she do? And Paul's like, well, the flavors were delicious. But she's not in the running. Is that what you're saying, Paul?
Yeah, basically. So
could someone send this freezer out to Laura outside so she can just put her head in it right now, just ahead of time? Okay, great. Thank you.
So the guys are neck and neck. And they're like, how do we decide?
It's about as close as a draw as Paul has ever seen. So then now we go to the award ceremony. And Matt gives a really lovely thank you to everyone in the bubble, especially the medics and the cleaning team and the staff at the hotel. And this is the closest final they've ever had. And the winner is... It's not a little shuttlecock. Shuttlecock. It's not a fantasy brother. It's Peter!
Peter! So Peter wins, and I guess he wins like a pie tray?
Yeah.
I mean, is that what you win?
You win a cake stand, yeah.
That's it?
Like a glass cake stand. Yeah.
How much money you win?
Who needs money when you have memories?
Poor Laura is making pizzas outside, okay? They need money. That's what they need. They should all get something. What the hell? You guys got a TV show out of it.
I think they get endorsements and cooking deals, but yeah, they get a cake stand.
Oh, fuck that. I'd throw that shit at Prue's head and be like, you better shop. I mean, at least get me a scarf or something.
No, nope, that's all they get. They can't.
A stand mixer, maybe?
No. Nope.
I mean, anything. Nope.
Cake stand. Cake stand, that's all you get. That's like Dancing with the Stars. You only get you get the mirror ball trophy. That's it. Sometimes it's enough just to win.
Yeah. So Peter can totally believe he won, which is cute. He can be like egotistical and it totally works because he's so cute and smiles a lot.
And Paul's like, well, it all came down to little bits of crisps and flakes in a Ruff Puff or flat shoe, idiot. But Peter should be the youngest, happy that he's the youngest winner and the first Scottish winner. So it's quite an embarrassing episode for me personally.
Our first quote-unquote wee winner. I think he wanted us to say that. I think he was demanding it.
We just begged him to have a speech that was something other than Jiminy Cripes, but unfortunately didn't take our advice. Peter, do you have anything to say? Jiminy Cripes! All right, that's
I'm a silly Billy! All right, Peter.
Bring my car around, please.
All right, someone give him some bubbles and let him run around and blow bubbles. So, and Prue's like, well, I feel like he's my grandson or something. He's such a nice guy, and he's so eager to learn. And at my age, you feel like they're either all macho, like Paul Hollywood, or grandchildren like Peter, or maybe even great-grandchildren. Truth is, there's no good options for lovers at this age, so...
So Dave takes it well. He's like, if I was told I'd be runner-up, I'd have taken that this whole time. And Laura's like, I'm just glad I got flowers. Peter really does deserve it. That little stupid fuck. That little Christmas-obsessed fuck does deserve it.
Anyway, I'm going to put these flowers in the pizza oven, mate, and see what happens.
And Peter's like, I watched this show a lot. When I was 12, watching the show got me into baking. And James got into the final in Series 3, and I've watched that 8 or 9 times. Oh, little 12-year-old Peter would be in awe of me. I mean, I think I'd believe if I told him, hey, guess what you're going to get when you're an old man? You're going to be on baking show and win it. Of course, 12-year-old Peter would believe that. But guess what? Only because it's Christmas every day.
One of the greatest things about having this period of time while Peter's been away is that we can actually watch TV again. We don't have to watch Season 3 for the 45th time.
So then's the part where I cry.
Okay.
Because they end it, they're like, the baking show is dedicated to everyone helping us get through 2020. Since the bubble, the bakers and their families have kept in touch as much as possible. And then I just started crying watching all the people.
Oh, that's so sweet.
You didn't?
No. I was just like, this is nice.
I cried. I was like, oh my God, look, they went to each other's house.
We we got a message, a lovely message from someone. Oh my goodness, the doorbell again. Why is this? Oh gosh. Doorbell, you're going to have to wait, because this is important, okay? We got a message from someone who was like, I cried so hard, so I know that people were crying. But basically, Lorea is working night shifts at the hospital. Max's son got married. Rowan learned how to make his own waistcoats.
How can you not cry that Rowan finally learned how to make his own waistcoats? And then we get a shot of it, and he's like, he's got waistcoat stuff laid out, and then he's like, I'm drinking some tea now. You drink some tea. You just know it's going to take like 5 days of work and it's going to be worth it in the end. And then sweet Linda just headed straight to the beach with a bottle of wine. Fucking love her.
Yeah, just had a huge bottle of wine. Sarah, Mark, Lottie, and Laura and Dave all hung out. And then Sarah eats chocolate again. She no longer hates it. And then Lottie went to visit Mark and Jasmine and Rosie. I was like, who the fuck are Jasmine and Rosie? And then I was like, oh, it's Mark's daughters. Never mind. That was so lovely. Very nice.
Yeah. And then Laura's even getting better at baking in her clean kitchen. And that was funny. And then Peter calls home and his family cheers. And then he hears his dead brother in his mind, you know.
And he's back at university and his flatmates had no idea he was on the series, which is really great. That was really nice of his friends. And then we have the best twist of all. Dave finally had his baby and his baby was named Ronnie.
Yeah. His first words are going to be, you're stupid.
Yeah, stupid. And then actually, very sad, we saw Luis, who was on a previous season, who had passed away recently. They gave him a nice little tribute.
Yeah.
Which was sad.
And that brings us to the end of Series 8 of Great British Baking Show.
What a lovely time. What a fun diversion that we've had over the past 10 weeks doing this show. It's great fun, chuffed that we got through it, and now we will move on with our lives.
Yes, everybody. Now we have the schedule changing up a little bit with Real Housewives of Atlanta coming next week, and then in a little over a month, we've got Real Housewives of Dallas coming back. So we've got plenty to keep us going through the end of the year and the beginning of the next. So stay with us, everybody.
Yeah, we have full Bravo content coming up yet again.
Hey, everybody. So, we'll talk to you later. Thanks for being with us this season.
Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Dana C. Dana Do. She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels.
Let's Run Some Errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sip Some Scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay. Higher Than High Res, she's Lauren Perez.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan lettuce.
One day you're Rachel Zinn, the next day you're out.
He makes us squee, Richie D.
There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Nancy, cease and desisto.
Let's rev our pistons for Amanda and Kristen.
Better Than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Let's give them a kissa, it's Austin and Marissa.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Erica, 500 days of summers.
We will, Joanna Rockland you.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.